As I thought about what I was going to share, luckily I had about 3 weeks to think about it, I think. What God has been working on my life in, and really, we've talked a lot about it already this morning, and alluded to it. It's not been specifically mentioned, but as I thought about it, I wanted to talk about our passion for prayer. Do we have a passion for prayer? Is it something we just do because that's what we do? We get up in the morning, we say a prayer, and then we go off to the races. And then we come screeching into bed at night. You say a prayer quick before you go to bed. Or is it something that you do throughout the day? As I try to find my notes. It's beginning to panic just a little bit. First, I actually had a little quip that I wanted to read. My text is going to be from James 5, 13 through 18. One of the last Sunday school lessons I taught we was on James, and I didn't feel I ever quite completed the thought, and so I wanted to actually pick up on that just a little bit and take it much further. But this week, maybe some of you can get the humor in this a little bit. It's from a realtor friend of mine. She said, are you worried about dying? Don't. You will live forever. All you have to worry about is location, location, location. And then there's absolutely nothing more important in life, in your life right now, than making sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's so true. Location, location, location. And everybody that knows anything about real estate, that's what real estate's about. But where we end up is more important than anything on this earth. And we can do that through prayer. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, because I know we have some prayer warriors in the room. And as prayer warriors, you understand the power of prayer. The rest of us tap into the power of prayer on occasion. I don't think we ever really fully understand the power we have at our fingertips that God has blessed us with in prayer. So here's kind of the outline I'm going to go over. I'm going to talk about what is prayer, and I'm going to get a little bit of feedback maybe from you all on that. Examples of prayer. How do we pray? What hinders our prayers? How can we have more effective prayers? And then a promise of the prayer. Promises of prayer. I would love to have some of you pick out some of your favorite promises and share those. And that'll be toward the end. I'll give you a cue. So if you feel led to share one of your favorite scriptures on the promises of prayer, I would love to have some audience participation. So we got a lot of material to cover and a short time to get it done. So let's go. What is prayer? Anybody want to volunteer just a quick what you think prayer is? All right. It's a relationship with God. God wants to have an intimate relationship with us, and it's our communication line. It's our it should be our lifeline. God wants to know us, and He wants us to verbalize what we have going on in our life to Him, because He knows everything. He knows all about us. He knows us better than we know ourselves, but He wants us to ask and to bless and to speak into other people's lives what He's doing through us. Because God don't need us, but we need God, and we need prayer, and to be active, to have an active prayer life. Do you have a steady prayer life, or is it valley and peak like the Israelites? If you follow the Israelites, they go up and down. It's like, or do we have a steady prayer life? Are we able to maintain through the good times and the bad times that, you know, when, because typically when things happen, when we're hitting a rough spot, we call on God and we get real active in a prayer life. But then when things are going fairly smooth, our prayer life tends to fall off. At least that's the way my life is. Now maybe you are different. Maybe you got this thing all figured out. Now I'm not gonna touch the depth of this subject of prayer, because there's a lot of scriptures about praying. And that's the last question, or another question I have is, do you ever feel like your prayers are just reaching the ceiling? Do you feel that, you know, your prayers are just not being answered? Is that something that you face? So, let's read our text, James 5, 3, 13 through 18. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And we're going to come kind of in and out of this passage a little bit as we go through the other points here. First, we're going to go examples of prayer, and that's Elijah. He's one example that I wanted to pull from. Nobody really knows the origins of where Elijah was from. Nothing is known of his parentage. But yet, he's known, and he's spoken of in James. But you go back and you read in the Old Testament, he was a man of prayer. There's like a lot of different situations. On the Mount Carmel, he prayed, and he prayed fire down. So he was a man of prayer. And so that's an example from the Old Testament. The other one is Daniel. I wanted to read Daniel 6:10. And we all know the story of Daniel and the lions then, and this is just one. It was after the men had made the agreement, and it says, now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with the windows open, toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. So even though he knew the consequences, he knew what was going to happen, he still did what he knew he needed to do and was honor that relationship with his Lord and prayed. And yes, he did get thrown in the lion's den, but he was also delivered, and we know how that story ends. And then I had example of Jesus in Matthew 6, 5 through 13. Is the model prayer. It said, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. But assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in heaven, who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus has given us the example of how to pray. And all of these are about honor and glory, glorifying God. It's not about us, but it's about having a relationship with our Maker. How do we pray? I want to go back to that, and that's actually Matthew 6:6. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door. Go into your closet. Sometimes God in our lives takes us through things that force us to fall on our face, humble ourselves, to see why. And the question isn't why God is allowing us to go through certain things, but what does He want us to learn from situations that we go through? A lot of it's situations we get ourselves into from either our own stubbornness, our own unwillingness to listen to what God is trying to show us. And sometimes we just need to step aside, go into our closet, fall on our face, and pray that God would reveal what He wants us to learn. Because He wants that relationship. He wants us to call on Him. And when we do, His promises in the Word are to be able to unleash blessings. And we have the power to do that, but so many times we miss out on those because we get preoccupied. We have our own idea of what we want to do with our lives. We think that we might know better than God, but if we would humble ourselves and get on God's page and understand that He has a plan for our lives, and His plan is perfect. He has a plan for each one of us. But we, as humans, and He's given us a choice, He's allowed us to make our own mistakes, but He's always there. He's always there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. When we walk away from Him, we do our craziness. He's always there to take us back and say, let's go. I have a plan for you. Daniel 2:20-23 is another example of how do we pray. Just being able to praise God and honor His name. And Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of the God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are His, and He changes the times and the season. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. I thank You and praise You, O God of my fathers, for You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we have asked of You, for You have made known to us the king's demand." They had prayed for wisdom for one of the king's visions, and now he's just praising the Lord. And that's what we need, to praise the Lord as we have things happen in our lives. Prayer is not always about asking for things for us or other people, but it's about praising. Because if we don't praise the Lord, the rocks will cry out. And so we need to make sure that in our prayers we're praising Him, that we're honoring and glorifying God for what He has done in our lives and what He's done in other people's lives and the power that He gives us through prayer. And I wanted to read John 17. I know I'm reading a lot of scriptures, but when we look at the example, the best example we have is Jesus. And He is, not only was this prayer for Himself, but He prayed for us over 2,000 years ago. And Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You, as You have given Him authority over all flesh, and that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. And this eternal life, that ye may know the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I have glorified You on earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory which I have with You before the world was. I have manifested Your name to men whom You have given Me out of the world. They were Yours, and You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Now they have known that all things which You have given Me are from You, for I have given to them the words which You have given Me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from You, and that they believe that You sent Me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom You have given Me, for they are Yours, and all mine are Yours, and Yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to You, Holy Father. Keep through Your name those whom You have given Me, that they may be one as We are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Your name. Those whom You gave Me I kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to You, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have My joy fulfilled in themselves. And I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that You should take them out of the world, but that You should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify Yourself, sanctify Your truth. Your word is truth. As You sent Me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they also may be sanctified by truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in Me through Your word, that they may be one as You, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, and they may be made perfect in one, and the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you give me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you have loved me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father. The world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. That was the prayer that Jesus prayed for us, and it's an example prayer where he glorified the Father, and Jesus was perfect, and yet he prayed. He prayed for 40 days and 40 nights he spent time in prayer. And I think if we can learn to tap in, he was the Son of God, and he tapped into prayer and the power of prayer. How much more do we need to pray and tap into the power of prayer? What hinders our prayers? What are some things that would be possible? I want to read Daniel 10. I want to know how many of you have. I'm going to break in at verse 2. Daniel was having a vision, in which you can read the rest of I'm only going to read the first part of the vision. Hopefully I can inspire you to read the rest of it. It's pretty amazing story when you look at the life of Daniel and then the wisdom which God empowered Daniel with. And I think some of it's because of his prayer life. He was dedicated to prayer, and he was dedicated to being a mouthpiece of God. I'm going to break in at verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat, no wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So basically, he fasted. Now, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river that is Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold and ephahs. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled and hid themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sounds of his words, and while I heard the sound of his word, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and my palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel. For from this first day that you set your heart to understand, humble yourself before your God, Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the king of Persia withstood me. Twenty-one days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what happened to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, "My Lord, because of this vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For now can this servant of the Lord speak with you, my Lord. As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me." Then again, the one having the likeness of men touched me and strengthened me, and he said, "O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace to you, be strong. Yes, be strong." So when he had spoke to me, I was strengthened, and he said, "Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." Then he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to the fight, to fight with the prince of Persia. When I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I tell you, which is noted in the scripture of truth, no one upholds me except Michael, your prince." And it goes on. But Daniel was praying for 3 weeks, 21 days. And this vision goes on for another 2 chapters. I'm not going to read that. But Daniel besought the face of God basically for 3 weeks. And it's like, are we dedicated to prayer? Not just for us, but for others. And I want to commend our prayer warriors. Prayer is not something that can be taken lightly. It takes energy. It takes persistence. It takes passion. It takes being dedicated to praying. Because the devil is always trying to distract us. He's trying to get us to trip and fall and keep us too busy to pray. But it's so simple, and we can talk to God throughout the day. We don't have to sit and try to just have a special time of prayer. Although that's good. We need to have prayer meetings and special occasions to pray. But it's like having a relationship with our best friend. We don't have to address them as dear so-and-so. We just talk to them. And that's the way God wants to have a relationship with us. Just talk to Him. Ask Him. It's not complicated. But He wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him. And He wants to have it with us. And so many times I don't think we want it as bad as He wants it. As Jolene was saying, as she wanted that championship so bad, and I was thinking, she is so right. God wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him. He wants it worse than we do. But we get sidetracked. We get tripped up. We get following our own trail. And God is always right there. So what hinders our prayers? Is it pride? Is it busyness? Is it gossip? Is it some hidden sin? It can be anything. But as we're going to come back to our text in James, let's get back there. In James 5, Is any sick among you? Well, I said, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. You know, it's just, we need to be willing to humble ourselves and come humbly to the throne of grace. And be willing to fall on our face before God and let Him mold us to what He wants us to be. How can we have more effective prayers? James 5:15-16. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If you have committed sins, he shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we want to have a more effective of prayer life, we need to be willing to confess. And sometimes it's not always necessarily airing out your struggles and challenges in front of the church. Sometimes it's just confessing it to God. Sometimes it does involve sharing it with somebody else. But it doesn't have to always be that. But we have to be willing to confess. And I have 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land.
We have so many examples in the Bible of how to have more effective, be more effective in our prayer life. And a lot of it involves being just being willing to be humble, willing to be used of God, willing to... and then the promises of prayer. Does anybody have any scriptures that they would like to read on the promises of prayer? One I have is, and it's not necessarily one that you maybe think of, but John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life." The promise of prayer is everlasting life. We always have that promise. And I have 1 John 3:22. And there are so many promises, and I'm just scratching the surface. "And whatever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." You know, when we pray, He's willing to do. He's willing. It says, "Seek and we will find, knock and we'll be opened unto you." And then Philippians 4:19. "And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." The promises of prayer. And like I said, that's just scratching
the surface. There's so many promises in the Bible that when we are willing to fall on our face, humble ourselves, and have a passion for prayer, that God will do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. And in closing, my closing thought is: our prayer life is prayer our lifeline or our fire escape? Do we simply participate in prayer to save us from eternal damnation, or is it our lifeline where we rely on God every day for our strength, for the battles that we face? That's all I have. Thank you. You want me to close with prayer? If you want to just stand, dismiss. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before this morning. Thank you, God, for your word. God, we thank you, God, for this church. And God, we just pray, God, that we would learn to have a passion for prayer, a passion for getting to know you more, to want to have a deeper relationship with you. God, I just pray that you would be with each one this week as they face their challenges for the week. Pray, God, you give them strength and courage to stand strong for you. God, we just pray, God, that you just dismiss us with your blessing, and we want to give you the honor and the glory. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.